On page 1741, you'll find Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read there the first 17 verses, paying attention to our confession, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So Paul writes, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on those things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And then the Heidelberg Catechism gives our confession about what we believe with the Holy Spirit. Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. So the question is asked, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? And the church confesses, first, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. And second, that he is given also to me, so that through true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Beloved congregation, from time to time in our lives, I think it's necessary, and I think the Holy Spirit will move us to a time of introspection. When we kind of look at our lives and we're going, what gives? What's going on? How did I get here? How did I fall into this sin? Why am I getting into these habits, and we look into the law of God, we look into the word of God, we consider the grace of God, and we realize sometimes, well, that we're not really all that good. Paul's writing out of that context where he writes in verse 24 of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, some people think that Paul wrote the words of Romans chapter 7 before he was converted, but that doesn't make sense in terms of the letter. I think he's writing it in terms of being converted, because as we're going to see, a non-converted person is never going to say, oh wretched man, oh wretched woman that I am. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we really begin to see who we are in our sin, and that we want to move out of that into a new righteousness. So by the power of that Holy Spirit, Paul writes, we're going to understand what justification is in faith alone in Christ alone. We're going to understand what sanctification is, that new walk of living with the power of the Holy Spirit, who is not simply a power of God, but who is God with us, working in us, the third person, as we say, of the Trinity. We're also going to see then the assurance that we have in those trials and struggles. And then the great hope of the glory that waits for all of us. Our theme is simple. The Holy Spirit brings us comfort in Christ. First of all, we will see the blessed assurance. Then we will see life and death. And then we will see the glory of being the sons of God. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What an interesting, powerful picture. We talked about that this morning. A man cannot enter the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, unless he is born again. What, is a man supposed to go back into his mother's womb? How can a grown man do that? How is he going to be delivered a second time? Nicodemus, beloved, this is the thing of being born of the Spirit. Unless a man is born of the water and the Spirit, of baptism of the water and the Holy Spirit, of being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and being renewed again, he cannot be born again. This is the power of God. Jesus says, I'm telling you about earthly things and you don't understand it. I need to tell you about heavenly things. And without the heavenly things, without the Spirit of God, who is like the wind, I don't know where he comes from. I don't know where he goes. All I know is I see the evidence of him. When Sonia and I were just on the island in Prince Edward Island in the last couple of weeks, you could see what wind can do with great trees toppled over, barns ripped apart, houses fallen down. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit is a little bit different. It rips down the body of flesh. It rips down the sinful nature that is in us, and it makes us children of the living God. And it gives us true faith that we walk not according anymore to the flesh, which is under the domination of the power of the law, but now according to the power of the Spirit, which is life. Paul goes on, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. A man needs to believe that, we heard this morning. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes will not perish, but has, not have, but has eternal life. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The only difference between the child and the Son of God is that the Spirit is within us. It has nothing to do with our intellect. It has nothing to do with our wisdom. It has nothing to do with something we've done. It has only to do with the choice of Almighty God to impart to us the Holy Spirit, like we saw this morning. That when God created Adam, he created a body of flesh, but then he breathed in him, breathe in me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, so that with I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who together with the Father and the Son is to be worshipped and glorified. And then what we're reading now here from Paul, who's just simply telling us what John wrote for us in Jesus' word, that to be born again, you need the Spirit of God, so that you can be released from the penalty of sin. You can be released from the wages of sin, which is death. It's the only way, beloved, for what the law could not do in that it was weak. And man wants to. There's a pride in us, something in us that we want to at least say we did something. And Paul's writing into that world. And you know, whether it's legalism, and we would all say, oh yeah, but we're not legalistic. Well, then what about traditionalism? If we do church a certain way, does that save us? If I preach a certain way, will that save you? If we dress a certain way, if we do everything the perfect in the right way, would that save us? And the answer is a resounding, oh, wretched man that I am. I thank God because he gave me the Spirit. And by the Spirit, I came to understand that Jesus is the name by which we are saved. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Because he has died and he is judge. He has condemned sin in the flesh, but he has released us from that condemnation and brought us into a new spiritual and holy life. Do you believe, beloved? If you do believe, then understand that you are forgiven, that you are free from this condemnation. And the power of the Spirit is that he is given to me personally, as we confess, so that through true faith he makes me share in Christ. That as Christ died on the cross, by the Spirit we believe and we're joined in union to his death, so that it is as if he, dying for us, brought us along, and that we died with him, and a complete remission has been made for all of our sins. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You remember what Jesus said right before he went to the cross, probably in the upper room? He's talking to his disciples, and he says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. But don't worry, I am going to send a counselor. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I live with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to give to you the counselor or the comforter. I'm going to give to you the Spirit, so that in those moments when you are despairing of your sin and wonder how God could love you and how it could ever be that you would experience the glory and the grace of Almighty God, the Spirit bursts into our reality and says, see Christ. Stop looking at yourself. And he makes us alive once again, so that our eyes are open and we see the beauty of God. Our ears are open and we hear the beauty of the call. Come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my burden upon you. For my burden, my yoke is easy and it's light. And by faith, Paul says, we say yes and amen. Because that's the power of the Spirit. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's what the Spirit of God does. Now Paul goes on, and he moves then from justification in Christ to sanctification. Seek to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So now we're going to move from that idea that I'm judged to be dead under the tribunal of God because of my sin, but now, because my sins have been forgiven, and I believe that by the power of faith, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, now it has to make a difference in my life. So remember what we heard this morning. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must believe. And then what does happens when he believes? He does the good works of God in him, as opposed to wanting to do the evil that the world does. We want to get out of that darkness into the light. We want to move towards that light so that all of our lives are seen in the beauty and the judgment of this great and glorious God and his law. See, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And we see that, right? And we need to understand that. I think that's one of the amazing sort of Canadian phenomena, is that most Canadians are pretty decent people. They're pretty kind. We don't seem to have the soaring crime rates of some of our neighbors around us. We don't just seem to have all of the gun problems. Yes, that's growing, and yes, we're seeing a continual breakdown of society, but we're not all that violent. Canadians are pretty docile. Canadians are pretty kind. We were kind of blown away. The whole world is blown away when a trucker convoy happens. That just doesn't happen in Canada. Our neighbors are pretty good people, but they cannot keep the law of God. You know, sometimes I wonder, is it harder to bring the word of God to a Muslim, to a rebel, to a person who's just completely rebellious, or the person who just says, it's cool for you. I think it's pretty great that you're a Christian. There's actually something pretty neat about it. And I wouldn't mind having some of it, but I can do without it too. How do you handle that? And it's hard for us sometimes, especially when we like them to say, yeah, but they're bound and going to hell. Their minds are at enmity with God. So either you love them or you don't. There's no neutral here. Today is the day of salvation. Choose now whom you will serve. You can't kind of leave here lukewarm. And isn't that the church that Jesus Christ hates the most? Laodicea, you're lukewarm. I spit you out of my mouth. I vomit you, actually, he says, out of my mouth. And so we need to be clear on that. But more, we need to be clear, beloved, especially for you who have grown up in the church, that we were all that way once. And our proneness is to that. Remember the catechism said, I am prone by my nature to hate God, not to love my neighbor. That means I'm prone to hate God and I'm prone to hate my neighbor because I'm prone to love myself more than anything else. That's who we are. That's Paul's struggle, wretched man that I am. I didn't know what coveting was until the law came, and then I understood I was a coveter. Now what am I supposed to do? We need to see from whence we came, that we were all once children of wrath, and that we were rebellious against Almighty God. Or that if we turn to Romans chapter 5, and we read there then that while we were yet enemies of Almighty God, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, verse 6. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man one would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners at enmity with God, Christ died for us. Man, why? Because we needed it. Because what we couldn't do, Christ had to burst in to do, and then he had to change our minds. But you, he says, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, verse 9 of Romans 8. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Wow. I don't belong to Christ if I don't have the Spirit, unless a man is born again by the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't belong to him. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. That means now the Spirit of God moves to give us life, that we begin to live a holy life, that I am no longer enslaved to my lust and to my passion and to my sin and to my ego and to my pride and all of that stinking hatred that lies in front of me. By the Spirit of the God, I look into the mirror of the Word of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, and I see the horrible ugliness of my nakedness, and I say, pray, Lord God, don't just cover me, change me from within. And he does. And the Spirit is life because of righteousness, and he changes us, and something happens, and we're filled with life anew. That we are changed in our desire. That we are no longer our own, but belong body and soul to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives to us the Holy Spirit, that we are willing from now on and forevermore to serve him. Because of the power of faith, the Holy Spirit doesn't give and take. He builds true faith, that faith is never taken away, and faith without works is dead, and true faith brings us to these works. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Paul, in talking about fleeing sexual immorality, says, stop it. Stop giving your body in sexual ways that are inappropriate for you. Do you not know that you were bought with a price and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? It's amazing. That you are the tabernacle of God, corporately and individually. Do you not know the Holy Spirit dwells with you? He chases out the devil. He chases out the demons. Are we attacked by them? Yes. Are we tempted by them? Yes. But the body of flesh now has been destroyed in us. Oh, it still rears its ugly head, and it needs to be crucified again and again and again, and we need to put off the old man and put on the new man. But how? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that we may live good, holy, and pleasing lives to the living God. So the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and lives, and we are given blessed assurance. We are given new life, and we are freed from death. And then our last point, we have the glory of becoming the children, the sons of God. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, or we are debtors, sorry, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We owe the flesh now nothing. That's not what life is. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, in Romans chapter 1, Paul said that we either worship God or we suppress the knowledge of God, and then we create other gods, and we exchange the glory of God for something else, and then we become like the gods that we serve, and then we obey the laws that we concoct or they concoct, and then we live just like them, and then we become completely enslaved to those gods that we follow. The worst happens, of course, is when we become slave to ourselves and we become our own god. Now he's saying, you know, you're not in debt to that. You'll die to that. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, he's going to connect sons of God to verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So just in case you women are worrying about it, you are actually the sons of God. And what he means by that is you are as much an inheritor as the oldest son was. This is not a gender issue. This is a legal inheritance issue. Who inherits? The son. Who inherits? The sons. Women, you're an inheritor. You too are the sons of God if you were led by the Holy Spirit. It's as if God puts his DNA in us. By the power of the Spirit, we'll read in Ephesians that the image of God is being renewed in us in true righteousness and holiness. We're becoming like Adam was when he was created and like Eve was when she was created, and both of them were in the image of God, and they were the sons and the daughters, they were the children of Almighty God. And I tell you, if you don't eat of the fruit, God says, you'll live forever. And now by the power of the Holy Spirit, God says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in him, then children of God, you will live forever. And you will share in the glory and the inheritance of Almighty God. Why? Because now God is no longer your judge. He is your Abba, which is Hebrew for father. He is the one who knows you, who created you, who recreated you. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth and controls all things. So that if we keep reading on in Romans chapter 8, and we realize then that yet in all things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And again, verse 28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many, what? Brethren, you are the children, you are the sons of God. Moreover, whom he predestined, he called. Called justified, justified, these he also glorified. So that's how that happened. Abba decided from before the foundation of the world to predestine your eternal destiny, and then he didn't just let that happen and say, oh, when I die and I got to find this out. No, he let you know. He came to you through the power of the Holy Spirit and through true faith. You say, I believe this. And you get down on your hands and knees, you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And oh yes, Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. And let us live as the new and completed children of the living God. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Isn't that interesting? That one of the great benefits of the Holy Spirit is that we believe we are the children of God, and we can say it with confidence. Not someday I will be, or I sure hope one day it will be, or when I die, maybe I'll find out that I was really the elect. The Spirit gives faith, and faith believes. Faith believes what? We're the children of God. The Spirit bears witness in us. We don't need to doubt that. Because if we doubt, we're like, well, we're tossed to and fro on the winds of every falsehood that ever comes along. Every time Satan comes, you're not good enough. Well, yeah. Or what a wretched man that I am. Well, that's true. That we can never move from that to I praise God. That I am a son of God. That I am a child of God. That he loves me. That the problems of today and the struggles that we go through are nothing compared to the glory that waits for us. Joint heirs with Christ. Where's Christ? He's at the right hand of God the Father. In Ephesians 1, we read that we reign with him, and that when he comes again, we will reign with him forever. Do you believe that? Can you hold on to that? Because we often sing, this is the power of Christ in you, but this is the power of the Spirit of Christ in you. This is the power of God the Father in you. You know, one of the knocks against the Heidelberg Catechism is that we only have one Lord's Day on the Holy Spirit. One question and answer, but really the whole rest of the catechism is about the work of the Holy Spirit. But we've already seen it's the Holy Spirit who gives us true faith. It's the Holy Spirit who is part of our creation. It's the Holy Spirit that moves us to see. And it's the Holy Spirit that joins us to the church, that helps us live a new life. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us with gratitude so that we can keep the Ten Commandments and that we can pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit is all over the Word of God, and it's all over our confession so that we can cry out, breathe on me, breath of God, and fill me with life anew that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect love of thine eternity. What an amazing, blessed assurance. What a beautiful confession. What a truly remarkable thing to say. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who together with the Father and the Son is God and gives me all the benefits of Christ, of true faith, of glory, of hope, of being the children of God, so we can cry out, Abba, Father, to you be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Spirit, love divine, let thy love within me shine. All my guilty fears remove, fill me full of heaven's love, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Speak thy pardoning grace to us. Set the burdened sinner free. Lead us to the Lamb of God. Wash us in his precious blood until our will is one with yours to do and to endure. Life and peace to us impart, seal salvation on our hearts. Breathe yourself into our breasts, earnest of immortal rest, until this earthly part of us glows with your fire divine. Let me never from thee stray, keep me in the narrow way, fill my soul with joy divine, keep me, Lord, forever thine, but live with thee the perfect love of thine eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.